The subject matter that I said I'm going to speak tonight about is the Beis HaMikdash is still burning. Tisha B'Av is not something in the past. We, all of us, all of us sitting here tonight, it's brought down a Chazal that it's considered that the Beis HaMikdash has been destroyed in our time. Every single year that the Beis HaMikdash is not rebuilt, we are to blame. And Mirtz Hashem, when the Beis HaMikdash will be built, will also be to blame for bringing Mashiach. It pains me very much to begin tonight on a subject. Okay, when it gets on, it'll get on. Whoever's here is here. So, it pains me very much to speak about the subject I'm about to begin to speak. Spoke about it last week. I'm in the mountains for the summer, and there's a lot of not good things going on in the mountains. Matzei Shabbosim. There are many girls that are up there being mother's helpers, working in stores. Many boys that are up there. And I was told by someone, it's really not a subject I want to talk about, but Klai Yisrael needs to know what's going on. We can't hide anymore. Everybody's hiding. I have a grandson that he thinks when he looks in the corner and he doesn't see anyone that nobody sees him. But it doesn't work that way. So I was told about parties and things that were going on in the mountains 2 weeks ago. And it was very painful for me as a Rebbe, for me as a Jew, to hear these stories, and I was very angry. I don't think that's the right reaction, but I'm a Kohen, and I was very angry. So I decided this Motzei Shabbos to go see for myself. I left my house at 12:30, Erev Tisha B'Av, Motzei Shabbos, Chazoin, and you have to listen a little bit louder. You'll hear me soon, I promise. We're not there. So, I left at 12:30, went to Monticello, went to Kayamisha, and what the Navi Yirmiyahu says in Eicha, I saw with my own eyes, as he says, the gold has dimmed, the beauty is gone, our children are in the streets. And as I went from one place to the other, Jewish girls and Jewish boys not doing the things that you're supposed to, and my anger faded. I wasn't angry anymore. I was hurt. I was in a lot of pain. For these are Hashem's children. And if I'm in pain, how much more HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in pain? I got an email this week from a girl. She said, Rabbi Wallerstein, I listen to your shiurim every week. I don't think I can listen anymore to your shiurim. Why? Because I don't like how you described what you were told happened in Lach Sheldrick the week before. And I'm a very firm girl. And I don't feel that I should hear these things. So my question to everyone is, I'm a very firm guy. Why do I need to hear these things? And why do I need to see these things? Five Rabbeim. Five of us. That's it. We're out this Motzei Shabbos. Everybody comfortably in their houses. Five Rabbeim. And we went to these houses. And I don't want to hurt anyone here. Last night, Mr. Gert, who was in Auschwitz, got up. And he said to the girls that were here last night, and whoever was lucky enough to be here last night, We were very lucky to hear such a man speak. And he said, 1 million children died in the Holocaust. And it's up to all the girls in this room, and all the women in this room, and all the women of Klal Yisrael, to make sure we don't lose another 1 million. Part of that 1 million that we're losing, I met Motzei Shabbos. We have to do something, girls. We can't stick our head in the corner and say it's not happening. So what, I should take girls with me? No, that's not the answer. We're sitting on Tisha B'Av and we're crying tears. Bechi, Beis Chaf Yud. Bechi. We cry. Begematria Lev. Bechi equals 32. And Lev equals 32. There are crocodile tears. Those tears don't count. But there are real tears. And it says that there's a gate in Shemayim that's never closed, which is the gate of tears. And they ask Akasha, if it's never closed, then why do you need a gate? If it's never closed, what's the gate there for? There's no need for a gate. If it never closes, the reason you have a gate is that you'll be able to close the gate. And the answer is, the gate is there to close on all the tears that are not real. But on all the tears that are real, that's when the gate is open. Your sisters, your friends, I saw this Motzei Shabbos in the worst places in the whole world. In the modern day gas chambers. You don't have to go to a trip to Poland to see Auschwitz. Auschwitz is dead. Auschwitz is a museum. Auschwitz burnt the bodies of Jews. There are houses in the Catskills, and there are places in Brooklyn and in New York and everywhere where they burn Jewish souls. And it's our job to close these concentration camps down. I don't expect anyone in this room to do what I did this Motzei Shabbos. You can't. But you can daven to Hashem this Tisha B'Av, and you can cry that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should close these places down, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have rachmanis on his children, on his 15 and 16 and 14 year old girls, who I walked over to. I said, what are you doing here? What are you doing in a place like this? And they said, Rabbi, you're ruining my party. And I understood Yirmiyahu for the first time in my life. My name is Zechariah. It was a Navi, Zechariah HaKayin. He didn't do too well. He stood in the chatzar of the Beis HaMikdash and he screamed to Klal Yisrael to change their ways, and they killed him. It's in tomorrow in the Kinnis. They killed him in the Beis HaMikdash, and the general came and he saw his blood was boiling and he killed out half of Klal Yisrael. And the brains of little children were piled up on a rock so high, and he said to Zechariah, if your blood doesn't stop boiling, I'm going to kill out the whole Klal Yisrael. Yirmiyahu got up and he screamed and he cried. Look at the translation of the Eicha you said tonight. And he said to Klal Yisrael, go back to Hashem. And they said, Rabbi, you're messing up my party. Yirmiyahu, you're messing up our fun. It's not an old story, girls. It's not 2,000 years old anymore. It's now. It's now. We're going down. We're falling. Because Baruch Hu is crying. And nobody wants to know about it. Rabbi Wallstein, don't talk about it. You're ruining me. I'm not allowed to hear such things. Well, you read Eicha tonight. So you heard everything that happened, but that was a long time ago, Rabbi Wallstein. It doesn't really matter. It's happening now. It's happening on Coney Island Avenue. It's happening in Monticello. It's happening in Lake Sheldrick. It's happening in South Fallsburg. It's happening in Manhattan. It's happening in the Rebbeim. Five of us We didn't know what to do. We stood there, and I was with the best. We went with the best we had. And they turned to me and they said, what do we do here? There's 200 kids, and there's five of us. So we stood there, and we couldn't do anything. We stood there with our mouth open, and we couldn't do anything. But I'll tell you something. There's no nation like Klal Yisrael. Because the boys, and boys and girls, no difference. They were like, hey, Rebbe. How you doing, Rebbe? What's going on, Rebbe? Hey, can I take you home? No, Rebbe, this is a party. Rebbe, what are you doing here? So I'm here to ruin your party. They didn't even give us attention. We didn't even exist. Imagine five rabbeim in a house of 200 kids where a policeman walked out and said, rabbis, those are Jewish girls in there. I won't even tell you what he described. So what are we going to do? So we're going to say it's not happening? We're going to say we don't know, want to know what's going on? No. I want you all to go home tonight, and I want you to sit on the floor, and I want you to cry to your father, to Kodesh Baruch Hu, and say, Al Elu Ani Bochia, I'm crying on these, on my sisters. These are your sisters, girls. These are the mothers of your children's friends. Think about that for a moment. These are the mothers of your children's friends, your children's generation. How can we let Klal Yisrael go like this? Should I speak about it? Shouldn't I speak about it? And I said, no question. I have to speak about it because I'm telling you that I have cried a lot. And I could just imagine how Akash Baruch Hu is crying, girls. These are his children, his kinderlach. These are his kinderlach. Let's take a look a little bit at what happened and maybe we'll understand what's happening. And if you know anyone up there in the mountains, the Shabbos, take her bowling. Take her somewhere else. Don't let her go out. I got home at 5:45 a.m. Sunday morning. The sun was up already. And the only reason I got home that early was because they closed down this place. But this week it'll be somewhere else. And next week it'll be somewhere else. And the week after it'll be somewhere else. We have to stop it. So the Rabbeim, we'll do what we can. But you gotta give us the weapons, and the weapon is Tefillah. You gotta daven for us. You gotta help us here. Klal Yisrael has to help us here. And if you don't help us, then we don't have any weapons. We can't do anything. We stood there, five Rabbeim, we couldn't do anything. Nothing. I understood Yirmiyahu HaNavi for the first time in my life to imagine that he stood by the time of the base of major screaming at the girls and the boys and everybody, and you say it in tonight's Eich, and they laughed at him. They laughed at us. And I had to watch my back. Every single car that pulled up, I figured, we're in big trouble. Could you imagine a Rebbe being scared that some Jewish kid is going to beat him up because he's ruining his party? Can we even imagine? Can anyone in this room, do you understand what that means? You can't even understand what that means. It's a Holocaust. With all respect to all the Holocaust survivors that are in this room, it's a spiritual Holocaust. At least in the Holocaust, in the gas chamber, and I'm going to tell you a story tonight. At least before they died, the last breath, they said, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. You can kill my body. You can put me on, like you said last night, the kids jumped onto a fence that was full of electricity and they died on the fence saying Shema Yisrael. Nobody Matzei Shabbos was saying Shema Yisrael. One of my chaverim on Sunday night, last night, went to talk to a group of these girls. Speak to them, to be makar of them, to talk to them. You're 15 years old. What are you doing? You're 16 years old. What are you doing? These are religious girls. And he sat in the room. And he said, you think that boys and fun and all this stuff that we're doing is going to make you feel happy? No. You're missing God. Fun doesn't replace God. It's just going to make the hole in your heart bigger. So he turned to this group of girls and he said, I want you all to scream together out loud, Hashem loves me. These are religious girls. And only one girl eked it out of her mouth. Ah, Hashem loves me. He said, no. I want the whole group of you to scream, Hashem loves me. Couldn't do it. 15 girls in a room from religious parents who go to religious schools could not say, Hashem loves me. I said to him, in the gas chamber, they all could say, Hashem loves me. Listen to the stories of the people that came out. Mr. Gert stood here last night. The man went through Gehenna. He lost everybody. He stands here and he's speaking. At the end of his speech, he turns to all the girls. He says, I'd like to apologize if I said anything that made you like a little nervous and a little bit upset. That's what he was worried about. And the whole night, he said, the Ribbono Shel'olam was there for me. The Ribbono Shel'olam, I don't know why other people weren't saved, but the Ribbono Shel'olam was there for me. The Ribbono Shel'olam loves me. The Ribbono Shel'olam loves me. The Ribbono Shel'olam loves me. Here's a man who went through the Holocaust, who lost everything in the world, and he's standing here last night. The Ribbono Shel'olam loves me. He came with nobody. He lost everything. And we can't get 15 religious girls in a room to say Hashem loves me. And mean it. And know it. And feel it. I'm not going to stand here tonight and say that everyone should scream Hashem loves me. But maybe you need to go home and say it. How can we say Hashem loves us after we're sitting here tonight, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash and everything that Klal Yisrael went through? How do we know Hashem loves us? That's what I'm going to talk about tonight. And I want to show you the difference between this generation and even the generation of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Medrash Eicha says the following. Rav Yitzchak opened up a pasuk in Yeshaya, V'lei oisi karasi Yaakov ki yogati bi Yisrael. Hashem said, Yaakov, Klal Yisrael doesn't call to me. And he says the following. He says, Shlosh meos v'shishim v'chamita bate avoydes k'chavim hayu b'damesek. There were 365 houses of avoydes zara in Damesek. And every day of the year, the Jewish nation served a different avoydes zara. 365 channels on your television. Every day, you watch the whole day. One channel. Imagine what level Klal Yisrael was in. 365, well, not Buddhism and Christianity. 365 avodah zarah. Says the Medrash, one day Baal. One day the gods of Aram. One day the gods of Sidon. One day the gods of Moab. One day the gods of Bnei Ammon. One day the gods of Plishtim. Says the Medrash something very sad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Afilu b'shutafus. I would be happy if you'd make me a partner with one of those avodah zarah. It's a Medrash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I would be happy if on all 365 days you served avodah zarah. You served idols. But in the middle of serving idols, you mentioned my name too. Hashem loves me. I love Hashem. I'm also doing avodah zarah. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu in his pain, Jewish nation, even in your avodah zarah, I'll be a partner. Let me be a partner with your avodah zarah. Let me, like I spoke this week, let me be a partner with your iPod. You can listen to all your Gaiusha music and all your rap music and all your other Meshugasim that you have on your iPod. But put one shear in there, one kapitel tehillim in your iPod. Just Just after you listen to all your rap and all your other garbage, just put one of my songs in there. Just want to be a partner in your iPod. Scroll through your telephones tonight, girls. Scroll it all through the names that you have in your telephone. See if you have Hashem's name in there. This friend, that friend, this one, that one. I challenge that there's no one in this room that has Hashem's name on their cell phone. All right? Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. Okay. If you could please give all the girls, thank you. You can give all the girls in the room afterwards Hashem's phone number, I would appreciate it. There is a girl that sends me text messages, and at the end of the text message, it always says, Hashem runs the world. That's on her message. Baruch Hashem. Okay, we got one. Baruch Hashem. Because Baruch says, let me be a partner. And your cell phone. Dial a Shir. Dial a Tehillim. Dial a Chafetz Chaim Heritage Foundation. Something. Just, I understand you're not going to give up your cell phone, but just make me part of your cell phone. Make me part of your Avoy Dezara. Whatever your Avoy Dezara is, make me part of it. And what did Klai Yisrael say? No. No, you're not even a partner with our Avoy Dezara. Oh yeah, I saw that this month is Shabbos. I saw it, Sasha. Kosh Baruch Hu is not a partner anymore. Znus and pot and whiskey bought out Hashem's partnership. They bought him out. Oh, Hashem, help us, help us, help us, help us. Omar Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina. So Kosh Baruch Hu came back to Klai Yisrael and said, you don't want to make me a partner? Could you make me dessert? Hashem said, I know I'm not going to be your meal, I'm not that important to you, but could I be at the end of your meal? It's like a mushroom. Hashem said, could I be like just dessert? You know, just after you finished having a good time and everything you did, you know, you enjoyed yourself, could I just be the last piece, you know, of your day? Just your dessert? Kigarzimi? And Rav Yudin says a mushroom, he says, there was a servant of the king who made a party. And he invited all the servants, and he didn't invite the king. So the king, who loved his servant very much, he wanted to come to this party, but he wasn't invited because he was the king. So he got dressed as a servant, put on ragged clothes, fussed up his hair, made himself look like a servant because he wanted to be in the party. And he came to the party, and the person, the servant that was making it, said, no, 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 no. You're the king. You can't come in here. I'm not the king. They didn't let me into certain places once the Shabbos either. They said, Rabbi Wallenstein, you can't come in here. I said, why can't you be here if I can't be here? No, Rabbi, you don't want to see this. I was willing to bashmutz myself. I'm not God. I was willing to be like them. Let me come in. Let me see what's going on. Let me pull one girl out. Let me pull one guy out of here. No, we don't want you here no matter what. Said Klai Yisrael, Chakrish Baruch, you want to come down to our level? We still don't want you. We don't even want you at our level. And they said, we don't even want you for dessert. It's very severe. Klai Yisrael said, Hashem, we don't want you even for dessert. And all those who learned Malachim know, when Eli Anavi went against the prophets that were false, he told them, scream all day to your God. And they screamed all day for their God to send the fire down to light the Mizbeach. And of course, it never showed up. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, scream to me like you scream to those gods. But Klai Yisrael didn't do it. And the Medrash says that if you think Hashem destroyed Klai Yisrael very fast. He didn't. That's not the Medrash we're going to go into tonight. But Kosh Baruch Hu waited for 3 years. The Shechina was on Har Zeisim. You all know where Har Zeisim is. And he waited and he cried and he begged. And Yirmiyahu came and he begged and he cried. But nothing helped. Nobody wanted to get involved. Yirmiyahu was by himself. Okay, listen carefully. Vayikra Hashem Elokim Tzvois Bayamahu Libchi. God called on Tisha B'Av a day of crying, and a day of hesped. Mishor shebikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu lahachriv es Beis HaMikdash. When Hashem decided He's going to destroy the whole Beis HaMikdash, He said the following. He said, as long as I'm in the Beis HaMikdash, the Umas HaOlam won't touch it. So He said, I will remove my eyes, and I will allow the Goyim to come in, and I will go back to my place in Shemayim, Elcha Voshuv El Mekomo. And He went back to Shemayim, and when He got to Shemayim, and the Goyim destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, and the children were lying dead in the street, and the mothers were crying over them, and the Beis HaMikdash was burning, and the Goyim were laughing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Oili, Malasisi. Hashem said, Oive, what did I do? I used to live down there amongst them, and now that they have sinned, Chazati Limkoyim Yerishan, I went back to the Shemayim. Matatrin, the Malach Matatrin, who's one of the highest Malachim called Matat, came in front of Hashem, Benofal Alponov, and the Malach fell on his face, V'Amalafonov, and he said in front of Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam, my God, Ani Epcha V'Ata Lo Yisibchem, said the Malach, Hashem, why are you crying? I will cry. God is not supposed to cry. I am the highest Malach. I will cry, but you please don't cry. Turned this God that 15 Jewish girls yesterday could not say, Hashem loves me. This God that so many of the Jewish people think hates us. This God who we're so disconnected with. This God who's so misunderstood. If we'd only learn, turned Hashem to this Malach who came in front of Hashem and said, don't cry over your children. Our Malach, Hashem said to the Malach, Im eina tomaniach li libchais achshav, if you don't allow me to cry now, said HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Matat, Ekonais l'mekoyim she'en l'cho rishos l'ikonais ve'epcha, I will go to a place in Shemayim that even the highest Malach can't go, and I will cry. As it says in Yirmiyahu, if you don't allow me to cry here, I will go into a place where no one else can go. Is this a God that doesn't love us girls? Is this a God who does not care? A God who tells to his malachim, you cannot cry for me. For who can cry for a parent who loses a child? Who can cry for that parent except the parent themselves? So Kodesh Baruch Hu went into a place that nobody can come, even the highest Malach. And God sat and cried. This God that we don't think loves us. Amar lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'malchi ha'shareis. Hashem turned to the Malachim and said, Ba'u, let's go b'nei lech ani v'atem. Let's go out on a Saturday night and see what's going on. Let's go see what's happening to my children. Let's see what the enemies have done. Let's see what America has done to our children. Let's see what the hookah bars have done to our children and the pool halls and the bowling alleys. And the people that are behind all this, Hashem should have mercy on their souls. Let's go see what happened, said Hashem to the Malachim. Hashem came down to this world with his Malachim and Yirmiyahu in front of him. When Hashem saw the Beis HaMikdash, Amah, he said, this is my house. This is my resting place. What happened to it? 15 girls who don't know Hashem loves us. 15 yeshiva girls who have gone through school, who have learned Torah, but for some reason don't have the chinuch to know that Hashem loves us. We need to be teaching this in our schools, teachers that are here. We need to connect our children to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not about test marks. It's not about memorization. It's not about subject matter. The Torah is to bring us close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How can 18-year-old girls not be able to say, Hashem loves me? When Hashem saw what happened to his Beis HaMikdash, when Hashem saw what happened to his children, he began to cry. For Omar, and he said, Oy li al Beisi, Oy vey, look what happened to my house. Bonai, my children, heichem atem. My children, where are you? Kehani, heichem atem. My kahanim, where are you? Oyhave hechenatem, my loved ones, where are you? On a Motzei Shabbos, where are you? On a weekday night, where are you? In your room, where are you? On the internet, where are you? Ma'es alechem, what did I do to you? Said Hashem. Hisreisi b'chem, I warned you. I sent 5 rabbis to talk to you. When it didn't change you, you didn't do tshuva. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu liYirmiyahu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Yirmiyahu, Ani doyme hayoyim lo'odom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Yirmiyahu, you want to know what I feel like today on Tisha B'Av? I am compared lo'odom to a person, Shehayaloi ben Yechidi, who had only one child. V'asu lo'i chuppah, and he made this child a wedding. And the chosen died at the chuppah. And he turned to Yirmiyahu and he said, it doesn't hurt you enough. Loyal lie, you don't care about me. The loyal benai, and you don't care about my children. How could HaKadosh Baruch Hu say this to Yirmiyahu HaNavi? His whole life, Yirmiyahu HaNavi was trying to bring Klal Yisrael back to do tshuva. How could Hashem turn to Yirmiyahu and say, my son died at the chuppah, and it doesn't bother you? And this is what I said to you girls before, says the Medrash. And Hashem turned to Yirmiyahu and he said, Ukral Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. Call Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, Umoshe Mikivrayim, wake them up. Get them out of their graves. What can they do that you didn't do, Yirmiyahu? Shehem yoydim libchais. Because they know how to cry. And you didn't cry enough. Wherever you are, that girl that sent me that text message and that email, that you don't want to listen to this anymore. You didn't cry enough. You did not cry enough. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to cry. Amar lefanei Ribono shel Olam. Yirmiyahu said, Eini yodea heichal Moshe kavur. No one knows where Moshe Rabbeinu is buried. How could I get Moshe Rabbeinu? Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, go and stand at the Yarden and lift your voice and scream, Ben Amram, get up. They swallowed your sheep. Yirmiyahu went to the Maras HaMachpelah in Chevron. For Omar, and he said, La voice of Olam, Imdu Shigiyaz Man Sh'atem Mevakshin Lufnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's time for you to get up and pray in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for your children. And he was scared. Listen carefully. Yirmiyahu said, I don't want to go and tell them because they will be angry. And they will say, who are you, Navi, that in your day this happened? Do you hear, girls? What are we going to answer when HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks us? When the Avos Avosenu ask us, how did these parties, how is this going on in your day? How are you allowing this? Why weren't you screaming? Somebody asked me, how could you go out, Rabbi Wallerstein, a whole night And I said, what am I going to answer to Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov? If Yirmiyahu, after what he did, day and night, he didn't sleep. He was scared that Avraham Avinu was going to say, you were alive and you didn't stop it. What are we going to say? What is the Rabbanim and the rabbis of this dar going to say? What are the teachers and the leaders of this dar going to say to Avraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov that our children are being destroyed, ripped away from their parents, ripped away from their souls? What are we going to tell them? How did we allow this to happen in our dar? At least we could say that we davened for them, we cried for them. So Yirmiyahu called for Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu went to the Malachi Ashores that he knew from Matan Torah, and he said, I came in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bring me in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want to cry for Klal Yisrael. And he screamed, and he cried. They heard Moshe Rabbeinu's screams in Chevron, the Maris HaMachpelah. And the Avos Avosenu got up and they ripped their clothing and they put their hands on their head and they began to scream till they reached the Shari of the Beis HaMikdash. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw them. He saw the Avos Avosenu and Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayikra Hashem Elokim Tzvois V'yamuhu Libchilu Mitzbehu L'Korcha. To God, that 15 girls cannot say Hashem loves me. He didn't even ask them if they love Hashem. The God called in Shemayim for all the Malachim in Shemayim, the Malachim and himself. Today is a day of crying, of eulogy. And all the Malachim and Hashem himself put on sackcloth. Listen carefully to what the Medrash says. V'ilmalei mikrash akasiv. If it didn't say it in the pasuk, E.F. Shala Omro, I could not say what I'm about to say. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when the Malachim went from one gate to the other gate, like a person who has a dead relative in front of him. And God said a hesped on Klal Yisrael girls. For oy man, he said, oy loy la melech shepikud nasa hitzliach, oy vey to the king when he was young, and Klal Yisrael was young, Hashem was matzliach with us, uvizikunusay loy hitzliach, but when he got older, he wasn't matzliach. Kodesh Baruch Hu went and said a hesped on Klal Yisrael. I don't have time tonight to go through the whole medrash. I'm just going to go to a piece that has to do with us. It all has to do with us, but with Rachel Imenu. So every single one of the Avos came in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said in his chus he wants to save Klal Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't listen. Avraham Avinu came in front of Hashem and he said, I'm Avraham Avinu, I'm the one who brought you to the whole world, that there's only one God. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Avraham, I can't do anything, because the Torah came, the letters of the Torah, the 22 letters, came to me and told me that Klal Yisrael is not keeping the Torah. Am Avraham lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Avraham Avinu said in front of Hashem, Ribbono shel Olam, who told you about Klal Yisrael? And Hashem said, the Torah told me that Klal Yisrael wasn't listening. Amalai Tavai Torah. The Torah is the accuser. Let the Torah come here. And the Torah came in front of Avraham Avinu and said, I'm the one who told on Klal Yisrael that they're not keeping the Torah. And Avraham Avinu said, you spoke about Klal Yisrael? Nobody wanted the Torah but Klal Yisrael. Nobody wanted you. We were the only ones who wanted you. How dare you speak on Klal Yisrael? And the Torah hit its head, and it put its head to the side. V'lohi idu behem, and it couldn't say anything. Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Avraham. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Avraham, bring the 22 letters, and let's see what they have to say. And they brought the 22 letters. And the first letter that came was the Aleph. And he said, they didn't listen to Anochi Hashem Elokecha. That's what I start with. And he said, but who took the Ten Commandments? Klal Yisrael took the Ten Commandments. And the Beis came. And Abraham said, Viti, my daughter, you are going to complain? Beis is Bereshis Bara, the Chamishei Chumshei Torah. You can't complain about us. And the Gimel came. And he said, Gimel can't say anything. Because we keep the mitzvah of tzitzis. Kedilim tasalacha. And the Dalet came, and the Hay, and the Vav, and the Zion. And Avraham Avinu showed each letter that Klal Yisrael, even as bad as they were keeping each one of these letters. In the end, Yitzchak came, and Yitzchak said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I was willing to give myself on the Akedah. Hashem didn't listen to Yitzchak. Yaakov came. I went through Lavan. I went through Esav. I went through bringing up my children. I'm their father. Save them. Hashem didn't listen. Then Moshe Rabbeinu came. Moshe Rabbeinu, the leader of Klal Yisrael. And he turned to Hashem and he said, you said, you're not allowed to kill a mother and a father animal on the same day. How could you do this to Klal Yisrael? And Hashem didn't answer. And this is for you girls. The difference between the girls and the boys is very much in this medrash. Moshe was called in front of Hashem by Yirmiyahu. Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov were called in front of Hashem. Nobody asked Rachel to come to Hashem. Yirmiyahu wasn't sent to get Rachel Imenu. But Aisha Shah cuffs the Rachel Imenu. She jumped. She didn't wait till someone called her. And she ran in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And she said the following. He gave me emotions, Hashem. Yaakov Avdecho Havani Hava Yisera. Yaakov, your servant. Yaakov, my husband, loved me more than anyone else in the world. For Avad Bishpili. And he worked for me. La'ava Sheva Shanim. And when he finished the 7 years, and it came my time to marry him, they switched me for my sister. The Hiksha, listen carefully, because it's a medrash, because we have to understand it's a very big mistake. We have to understand that our forefathers were very human. If they were malachim, then they weren't anything special. They were like everyone in this room. The medrash says very clearly that Rachel Imenu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, listen carefully, Zmani sui lebali yoetz ovi lachlifeni lebali bishvul lachoisi. My father said he wants to make a switch for my sister. V'huksha alai hadavar. And it was very hard for me. It's a medrash. But she was not a human being. She was willing to switch for her sister because she's such a big tzadekista. She wasn't human. She had no feelings. The Medrash says, it was very hard for me, Hashem. This is the one I love. This was Yaakov Avinu. For Huksha Alai Hadova Admoid. It was very hard for me. My husband knew. So he set up a signal for me. And I gave that to her. And I controlled my taiva, my lust. And I had pity on my sister. That she shouldn't be embarrassed. That night, we made a switch. And I gave my sister all the simonim that I had made up with my husband. Kideshi, Sabashi, Rachav, Loi, Oid. I gave my sister the secret password. I went underneath the bed that my sister was on. And every time Yaakov Avinu asked my sister Leah something, she was quiet, and I answered from underneath the bed so that he wouldn't hear my sister's voice. Nobody in this room can imagine something like that. Nobody. This was Rachel Imenu. And she's telling this to God. And I did this chesed with her, and I wasn't jealous, and I didn't embarrass her. So she turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and she said, "Ma ani shani bas adam, I am a human being, I come from dirt, ve'efer, and dust. I wasn't jealous of her, and I didn't embarrass her. And you are the king of all kings, Rachamam, a pitiful king. How could you be jealous that the Jewish nation is serving Avodah Zarah? I wasn't jealous of my sister. Hashem, how could you be jealous? She'ein boy mamish. Avodah Zarah has nothing. How could you allow them to be killed?" You hear what Rachel Imenu said? She turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and she challenged Hashem. She said, "Hashem, I'm a human being and I was able to control my jealousy. How come you're not? How come you're destroying Klal Yisrael?" And what Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov and Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't do, miyad nisgagalu rachmav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right away HaKadosh Baruch Hu went from his cheer of din to his cheer of pity. For Amar, he said, "Bishvilcha Rachel, because of you, Rachel Imenu, ani machzes Yisrael l'mkoymo, I will bring them back to their place." As every girl in this room knows, the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, "Koyama Hashem kol barama nishmani hi b'chi yamrim, tamrim Rachel mevaka al b'neha, menel l'nachem al b'neha ki enenu." And HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned and said to her, "Yesh tikvah l'achri seich n'um Hashem, you have my word, Rachel. It will be fixed. V'shavu banam l'gvulam, I will bring the children home." That's the power of a woman. When she's mevaka al b'neha, when she cries for her children, and when she cries for Hashem's children. And that's why we're here tonight, girls. Because as hard as Tisha B'Av is, it's a time, it's a yantif also. It's called a yantif. We didn't say tachron today. Mincha, it's a yantif. Why is it a yantif? Because in this day of sadness, we have the power to turn that sadness into happiness by davening for your sisters and your brothers and for Klal Yisrael, for crying for Klal Yisrael. There are many stories, Emes Hashem tomorrow, Mashiach Shabir, we shouldn't have to talk about it. There's many stories that we read in Kinnis, many very, very, very sad stories. There's a famous story of a woman who had 10 children, Miriam Bas Nachtom, and the Kesar took the 7 kids, and we know each one was killed till the last one. And the last boy was a little boy, and the king tried to get him to bow down, and he didn't. In the end, he killed the child, and then he killed the mother. And there's many, many very, very sad stories that happen. But if you have time to read these stories, in these stories you will find the strength of Klal Yisrael. Because with everything, and with what I saw in the mountains, with anything that you see and anything that you hear, there's Mika Amcha Yisrael. There is no other nation like Klal Yisrael. It doesn't exist. I can't explain to you, in the place that we were, to hear the word Rebbe over and over and over. Or rabbi, or I've gone to your shir rabbi, and the girl, 3 girls pulled their hoods over their heads so I wouldn't see their faces. And I said, Baruch Hashem. It bothers them. They cover their faces. That's Klal Yisrael. I'm here, I'm in the wrong place, but rabbi, you're not going to see who I am. That's Klal Yisrael. Even in the deepest, dirtiest, lowest place in the world, I don't want you to see my face. Mikam Chayisrael. I just want to end. We need to go home. We need to cry, girls. We need to cry for Klai Yisrael. We need to close that camp Simcha in the mountains. We need to close Camp Hask. We need to close all these places by bringing Mashiach. That's the only way we can close these places. I got up this Friday in a camp to speak. I said, girls, when you brush your hair in the mirror, say thank you. Because the basis of Yiddishkeit, of Judaism, is Hakaras HaTov, is appreciating what we have. And maybe Tisha B'Av also is a time to sit down. And even though the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, we still have Torah, we still have Shabbos, we still have many beautiful things. And maybe we need to understand that we have this, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu really loves us. And I told these girls, I said, there's a camp across the mountains. You're in Ferndale. There's a camp across the mountains where girls don't have hair. You got to appreciate that you have hair on your head. You have to appreciate everything that you have. When I got finished, one of the counselors came over to me and said, Reb Wallenstein, there was a girl sitting here, a young girl who was wearing a wig also. I said, okay, I'll go over and talk to her. We're suffering so much disease, marriages that are so not shalom bayis, kids that are on the street. I don't think that since the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, we have been in such a situation. Yes, the good is great, but the bad is so bad, and there's so much suffering. And we need to be Mashiach. I don't want to stand here next year. I'm a Kayan. I want to go back to work. I'm out of work 1959 years. I'm unemployed. That's a very long time. I don't want to be here. I don't want to talk about these things. I want to be in the Chatz of Beis HaMikdash. But I can't do it alone. We all have to daven. We all have to cry. And we have to mean what we cry, because that door is always open. It's not just going to happen on its own. Everyone's like, we want Mashiach now. That's not bringing Mashiach. You got to do more than we want Mashiach now. We have to daven, and we have to cry, and we have to think, and we have to fix the chorban that's inside of all of us. A great Rebbe said, on Tisha B'Av, forget about the chorban Beis HaMikdash. And we're like, chassidim, we're like, what? He said, think about your chorban. Think about your Beis HaMikdash that's burning inside your soul. And if every Jew would rebuild the Beis HaMikdash in themselves, then the Beis HaMikdash would be rebuilt. Don't worry about the Beis HaMikdash, worry about inside, that you'll be able to say, Hashem loves me, and I love Hashem. If you can't say Hashem loves me, then your Beis HaMikdash is on fire, it's burning, it's in pieces. There are foxes running in the pieces of your Beis HaMikdash. If you don't feel in your heart that Hashem loves me, then you don't have a Beis HaMikdash inside. So you have to worry about that Beis HaMikdash. For us, HaMikdash, for Shechanti B'Socham. It's in you I want to rest as Hashem, not in a building of bricks. In each one of us. The Churban in our generation is that there's no Beis HaMikdash in each one of us. It's not the Kosel Maravi in Jerusalem. It's the Kosel Maravi in me. That's the problem. When was the last time you wrote a little letter and stuck it in the Kosel Maravi in yourself? When was the last time you wrote a letter to God and brought it into your own heart, not sticking it into a wall, but sticking it into your own heart? It's a korban. We're so disconnected. Kadosh Baruch Hu cries. We see from here, Kadosh Baruch Hu cries, girls. Do you think he wasn't crying this Matzah Shabbos? He was crying this Matzah Shabbos. And he said, "Where? How come I'm the only one crying? Where is everybody crying? They're worried. Don't talk about these things, Rebbe Wallenstein. Someone told me tonight, you better not be talking about this. Don't talk about it to the girls." I'm like, who should I talk about it to? The drug pusher? The guy who made the party in his house? The police? The New York Times? Who should I talk about it to? To Rachel Imenu. To Rachel Mavak Al Baneha. This is why I'm here tonight. We don't know how to cry. Guys, we don't know how to cry. It's very hard for us to cry. You know how to cry about the silliest things. You're going to have to give cheshbon why you didn't cry about the important things. We'll have to give cheshbon as boys for other things. But you're going to have to give cheshbon why you walked out of here tonight and you didn't cry. Why you're letting a Holocaust, not in Germany, but in Monticello and in Brooklyn on Coney Island Avenue, and the girl next door that you know, that your mother said you're not allowed to talk to, God forbid, and she's probably right, but you can daven for her. Nobody ever got up and said you can't daven for her. Before I speak, every Wednesday night, I get a list, 40 names. Tuesday night, the boys already printed names. For Shalema, I'm standing here for 10 minutes. For Shalema, for Shalema, for Shalema. These are people that are sick, they need a for Shalema. How many names do I get of people that are sick spiritually? Five of your friends that you know that they're having a hard time at Wallerstein, let's dive in for them. Huh? Tell you a scary Zaire. Zaire says, Pasha's Truma, there's a person dying in front of you of hunger. He has no food, he hasn't eaten in 2 days. He's dying in front of you. And there's another person being dragged off, another Jew being dragged off to be sold, to be lost to the Goyim, to lose his religion, being dragged off spiritually, and you only have enough money to save one. Says the Zohar, let the starving man die. Parshas Truma. Let him die at your feet. Save the one that's being pulled to spiritual death. Quotes the Zohar. The one, the poor man that dies, he'll die. He'll go up to the next world. He was a poor man. He suffered his whole life. He'll go to Gan Eden. He'll do his time in Gehenna, whatever he has to do, but he'll go to Gan Eden. But the other person that's being dragged off to the club, to the boyfriend, to wherever they're being dragged off, that person is dead forever. Save the one that's being dragged off. Says the Ramban, how do you save someone? Daven for them. Take her name and don't stop crying until she comes back. Cry every night till she comes back. Take one name, one girl, and daven her till she comes back. Says the Zohar that when you bring that girl back, Kadosh Baruch Hu will take your picture and put it on his Kisei HaKavod and tell all the Malachim, meet the person who took my child, this is his Lashon, from the dark king's servants. Meet the one that pulled him out of the pool hall. Meet the one that pulled him out of the club. Meet the one who pulled her out of a boy's arms. Meet the one who pulled her off the internet, who brought my daughter back to my house, says the Zohar. Every girl and every boy in Klal Yisrael is considered the king's only child. Says Hashem, this is a Zohar, to his angels, I don't have anything, Hashem created everything, to repay the one who saved my child. I have nothing that's good enough. So give them the keys to every gate in Shemayim. Free. Here's the key, and let them go wherever they want. Because I don't even have enough saving one child of the kings. We need to cry, and we need to daven. I want to end with a story. It's a story that I talked about many years ago. A very important story to understand. Rav Shadron says over the story, he says the following. He says that I think it was in Bnei Barak, there was a man, and he used to go to shul, and he had no hair on his arms. And his grandchild used to sit on his lap all the time and say, Zaidi, everybody has hair on their hands and their arms, and you have no hair on your hands. How come you don't have hair on your hands? And the Zaidi said, when you're bar mitzvah, at your bar mitzvah, I will get up and I will explain to everyone why I don't have hair on my hands. Now that sounds a little weird, right? That's what he's going to get up and speak about. That's what he told his son, his grandson. Rav Shadron, Olav HaShalom, says this story. Amazing story. Comes to bar mitzvah. grandfather sitting at the table, bar mitzvah boy sitting at the table. Bar mitzvah boy says his drasha, he's finished, he turns to his grandfather and says, okay, Zaidi, now it's your turn. Tell everyone why you don't have hair on your hands. And the Zaidi says, you gotta wait a couple of minutes, I'm not ready yet. And all of a sudden, into B'nai Brak, into this hall, walks a man. He has no hair on his head, no beard, no payas, looked very sickly. And everyone thought that he had Yenamachla, the disease. No one knew who he was. No one recognized him. The grandfather jumps up, runs to the back, grabs him, brings him up to the front. There was a seat there. Sits him down, gives him a hug and a kiss. Everybody's sitting there. Who is this guy? And he looks like he's very sick. And the grandfather says to the grandson, now you're going to find out. And the grandfather gets up and he says the following story. He says, when we were little boys, this man sitting at the table, who just walked in, I didn't know him at all. I grew up in a city in Europe, didn't know this man at all. And the Nazis came, and I'm going to make the story short, and they took me to Auschwitz with my brothers, my sisters, my mother, and my father, all packed into a cattle car. To Auschwitz, he said, by the time we got out of the cattle car, half the people in the cattle car were dead. He said, we got out, Baruch Hashem. My mother, my father got out, my brothers, my sisters, all of us. And they lined us up in front of the Yimach Shemai V'Zichrei, Dr. Mengele. And you know, he sat there with his finger right, left. And the minute Mengele, Yimach Shemai, saw a family, the first thing he wanted to do was to separate them. So he separates the family. He takes this boy, his grandfather, and his father, and the brother on one side, the mother and the sisters on the other side. The boy and his father to live with his brother, and the women to die. And they're lining them up, and the mother, she lost it. And she runs across to this boy to give him a hug. And the Nazi that's standing there takes out his gun and shoots her in the head in front of the whole family. Right away, the two girls, the two sisters, run to their mother who's laying on the floor in a pool of blood, and they shoot the two of them on top of her. And now this boy's standing there, and his two sisters and his mother are laying dead in front of Mengele at his feet, and his father totally loses it and tries to hit the Nazi soldier that killed them, and they kill him, and his brother tries, and to make a long story short, his whole family shot right in front of him, the blood's running, sisters, brother, his father, mother, all gone. And he's standing there with clenched fists, but he doesn't move. And everyone gets out of the cattle car, they kill most of the Jews, but there's a few boys here, and they line them up, and they say, okay, Jewish boys are filthy, we have to take to clean them. Degerminate them, get rid of the germs. So they take these boys, 14, 15-year-olds, and they line them up, and they bring them to a barracks. And in the barracks, there are holes in the ground, full of lye. Lye is acid. And the lye is mixed with water. And what they do, they call delousing, to get rid of the lice. They take each boy, and they make him jump into the lye, into the acid, for a second, right? The head has to go under. Shave the heads, but they still have to go under. And then they pull them out, and they put them back online, then they put on their clothing. So each boy jumps in, jumps out, jumps in, jumps out, jumps in, jumps out. And they're up to this boy. This boy who has lost everything. His parents were just killed minutes before in front of him. He has no family, he has no home, he has nothing. He lost everything that he knew, from one second to the next. Everything that he knew, gone. And he stands in front of this hole, and he says, I'm not going in. Kill me. And all the other guys are going like, yeah, uncle, jump in, it's just a second. Jump in, come on. Finally, he jumps in. He jumps into this acid, which he's supposed to only be in for a second. And the Nazi says, put your head on them. He says, okay, and he puts his head under, and he doesn't come up. Finished, he's going to go there, the lie is just going to turn him into a skeleton. And his skin, the way he says it, his skin started to burn. And another boy that was standing there runs over to the hole, sticks his hands in, and starts feeling for the boy that's in the hole. and he grabs him by his shoulders and he pulls him out of this hole. Mamish, the body was smoking from being burnt. He pulls this kid out of the hole. And the Germans are standing there. They never saw anything like this. And they really should have killed the kid who pulled the other kid out. And they say, take him to the barracks. He's not going to live anyway. He's all burnt. And the rest of the time that they were in Auschwitz, these boys took care of this boy. When he was good enough to talk, they asked him, what did you do? Why did you go into the hole and not come back up? And this is what he told them. He said, when I went underneath, I thought to myself, Hashem, everything was taken away from me. My parents, my brothers, my sisters, my home, my friends, everything. But I'm not going to let the Nazis take you away from me. I'm going to die. I'm going to die in this hole. And I'm going to have in mind Hashem Echad Ushma Echad, and I'm going to die with that. He says, I was underneath till you pulled me out. I felt Hashem's hands pulled me out. I didn't even realize it was human hands. I was sitting in there saying Shema Yisrael in my head. And the grandfather turned around to the grandchild and said, the reason I have no hair on my hands is because I pulled this man out. And when I put my hands into that lie, my hair never grew again. He said, you may know tzaddikim and you may have pictures of tzaddikim, but this man that's sitting at the head table that doesn't have a hair on his head or a hair on his body because it was all burnt off in Auschwitz, he knows Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad. And he says, the biggest bracha I can give to you, my grandson, is that no matter what happens to you in life, to always know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there for you. That's Klal Yisrael in the worst place. I said it last night, I said it last week, and I'll end it because we're very broken. There's so many girls in here that have davened for so many things a whole year. Shiduchim, refuahs, they didn't get married, and the people didn't make it. And some of us just can't say Hashem loves me. And we have to know in our hearts that even though we stand here on Tisha B'Av and we think that we lost everything, most of us, Baruch Hashem, have families. We're not in the position that this man was when he was in the hole of lie. We're Baruch Hashem in a much better place. And he understood. I don't want to come out. I'm in Hashem's hands. Goodbye, everybody. Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad. I'm done. He understood that. We have to understand that we are in Hashem's hands all the time. And I said the story last night, and it's just a minute, but you have to know it. Because I never met this. I did meet this girl, actually. And that's the power of a woman. That's the power that you have that we don't have as guys. So I had this Talmud. He spoke here once, Chaim, who I loved very much. I teach kids that are not religious, eighth grader. And he went through eighth grades, and he went to public school, and he was a kid that thought a lot outside the box. And he graduated my class, and I never heard from him again. And I heard that he was looking for religion, and he ended up becoming a Buddhist. He ended up going to the Himalayas. And, you know, Jewish people were always looking for spirituality when it's right here in front of us. But we want everybody else's spirituality. We don't think what we have is the best, and of course what we have is the best. So he found Buddhism, and Buddhism, you know, you sit, you meditate, you vegetate, whatever, you know, you talk to the fat guy, whatever, you know, whatever you have to do. And there's Zen, and there's Wen, and there's this, and there's that, and it's like, wow, it's cool. Even though where we come from, they think, you know, whatever, we're always looking for, what you don't have is what you're looking for. So this kid, he didn't have Jewish religion, so he became a Buddhist, and he went, and he Zen, and he Wen, and he Yen, and he ended up getting tattoos all over his body. He had a big Buddha with a snake on one arm, another Buddha over there, and whatever. And I lost contact with him, 100% lost contact with him. I met him, he was in 8th grade, 13, so I met him 8 years later by his brother's wedding. And I'm sitting by the wedding, I was invited to the older brother's wedding, and there he's sitting across from me with a non-Jewish girl on his lap. And specifically sitting across from me like that to annoy me. I knew that. In other words, your Rebbe's sitting here, at least put her on the chair next to you. The chair next to him was empty. What are you doing, you know, in my face? You understand? But he didn't have enough, like the girl who put the hood over her face, like, I'm here, but I don't want you to know who I am, Rabbi. And he was mamish cooking. I was cooking. I was sitting there, I was like, you know, a little respect. Forget about it, you know. They didn't teach you in Buddhism a little respect, you know, a little respect. Anyway, Kosh Baruch Hu runs the world. And the first dance, I call the Hava Nagila dance at an irreligious wedding. The first dance they have for the rabbi is separate seating. You know, so they dance, two, three dances, they get you out, and then they have their all the rest of their wedding. So the Hava Nagila dance, it's Rebbe's dance with the Chassan. I got up, and I don't know, Hashem pushed me. I did, and I said to him, his name was Howie. I said, Howie! Want to dance with me? Lose the girl and I'll dance with you. He goes, you want to dance with me, Rabbi? I'm like, yeah, no problem. He's okay, I'll dance with you. So he gets up to dance with me. I'll never forget it, like today. Kadosh Baruch Hu knows this is Klal Yisrael. And he gets up with his tattoos, with everything, no yarmulke. Gets up and he starts dancing our Hava Nagila dance. And I grabbed him. And I gave him a kiss on his right cheek. I'll never forget it. And I whispered in his ear, I said, you could have girls on your lap, you could have Buddhas, and you could have tattoos, but I will always love you, and there's no way out of it. And he was like, wow. And then I went to the other side of his face, and I gave him a big fat kiss on his left cheek, and I whispered in his ear, but you know you're going to hell. And then we danced. And the next day, why I said that, I can't tell you. It's not the way I really act, but that's what I said. And the next day he called me up, and he said, Rebbe, I need to talk to you. And I don't know if it was the right ear or the left ear that got him. I can't tell you for sure. He said, Rebbe, we need to talk. I said, what do you want to talk about? He said, I want to come to your chabura, and I want to talk about Buddhism. But I understood already that the nefesh was, the neshama was, couldn't deal with the kiss. The neshama was not happy. So I said, sure, you want to come talk about Buddhism? No problem. But I get, you know, a rebuttal. He says, sure, no problem, Remy. Of course, he got up for 10 minutes and he spoke, and it was stupid. And he knew it was stupid. And he spoke for 10 minutes, I spoke for 10 hours. And that was my rebuttal. And then he started coming to my shir, and he started coming to my shir, and he started coming to my shir. Girls, just daven for them, because the neshama is something that can't be destroyed. I don't care, Catskills, clubs, wherever you put it. You can't destroy the neshama. You could fill it up with dirt, but you can't destroy it. And he went to Eretz Yisrael. And he started to learn, and he started to daven, and he started to grow, and he grew a beard, and he grew a payas, and he looked more religious than I do, and he mamash looked like a rav, and he really worked on himself and worked on himself, and don't call me Howie anymore. My name is Chaim. It was beautiful. It was amazing. He spent the Yom Kippur. We bought him a suit. To watch a Jewish neshama unravel is the most beautiful thing. It's worth being a Rebbe, a Mora, a teacher, a parent. Just to watch the power of a Jewish neshama is amazing. And that's why Kadosh Baruch Hu cries. Because to take such a beautiful gem and put it in the schmutz, Hashem knows more than us what we're worth. So to him, it's so precious, it's so golden. So he calls me up and he says, you know, I got to come back to America. I said, why? He says, because I got a date and there's no Jew, Israeli girl that's going to go out with a guy with a beard and payas that has tattoos. Especially tattoos of Buddhas. So I said, okay, come back. I'll see if we can find someone for you. He says, yeah, but my Rosh Hashiva read me a girl, so I want to go out with her before I come back to America. So he went out with her, one date, two dates, three dates, four dates. He calls me up, he says, Rebbe, when do I tell her about the tattoos? He was wearing sweaters till here, sleeves. Yeah, he was, for like years already at that point. He didn't want anyone to see. It's his busha, it was his busha, famous story in Eretz Yisrael, where in the mikvah, this boy from Or Sameach who had tattoos, so he used to go to a mikvah all the time, early, so that nobody would see that he had tattoos, and the mikvah was closed once, and it was Erev Shabbos, and he had to go. So he went in the middle of Me'er She'arim. And he went in the middle of Me'er She'arim and he got undressed to go into the mikvah. And all the Chassidish kids were standing there. And they were like, they never saw a tattoo before in their life. And they were laughing, whatever. He was embarrassed, you know, greatly. And he was going down, it's a famous story, and he was going down the steps of the mikveh, and up the steps from the mikveh was coming a very old Yerushalmi. And the Yerushalmi looked up and he saw the guy had tattoos on his chest, on his back. And he put out his hand and he said, he had numbers on his hands from Auschwitz, the old Yid. And he said, this was my Gehenna, and I'm out of it. That was your Gehenna, and you're out of it. Don't worry about it. It's a famous story in Eretz Yisrael, everybody knows this story. So my boy, he was walking around, Chaim, and he was covering it up. He didn't want anyone to see it. But he's going out with this girl on the fifth date. What's he going to do? So I said, tell her. Fifth date, you can tell her. Whatever happens, happens. He said, but Rebbe, I like her. I know what's going to happen. She's going to jump out of the, she's going to jump out of the door. She said, I'm going to tell her a tattoo. She's going to say, show it to me. It's on his arm. She's going to see a Buddha. I said, you got to tell her. It's not, you can't get married and then tell her. You have to tell her. Fifth date, he goes out with this girl. And he says to her, listen, there's something I have to tell you. She, of course, says, no matter what you tell me, you know, you're the guy, I like you. There's nothing you could tell me is going to change this. He said, okay, I have a tattoo. Okay. And it's a tattoo of an Avodah Zarah, of a Buddha. He said, she sat there quietly for 2 minutes. And she said the following. She said, it doesn't matter. So right away his heart jumped. She said, you see, the tattoo you have is on your body. I don't see that. She said, Chaim, I see the tattoo in your soul. And the tattoo in your soul is Yudke Vovke. This is what she told him. Only a girl could say that. The tattoo on your soul is a Yudke Vovke. And they're married, Baruch Hashem, and he's awesome. He spoke here, actually. And the girls made the mistake to ask him afterwards, can you show us the tattoo on your arm? And they thought that was very cool. And he said to me, how come they didn't want to see the tattoo on my soul? I said, Howie, they're, you know, Chaim, they don't understand, whatever, yet. But he's married, he has children, he's like running a yeshiva, it's amazing. Here was a guy sitting with a girl on his lap at a wedding in front of his Rebbe. So I say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I say to all of you, that as bad as it is, and whatever we see out there, don't give up, because what we see is on the outside. Every Jew has a tattoo in his soul. We need to daven. That's what we're going to see, and that's what's going to come out. The Yudke, Vovke, no one can ever destroy that tattoo. That inscription, we won't call it a tattoo because a tattoo is something you're not allowed to have. That inscription on every Jewish person's soul is a Yudke, Vovke. And that's why we always say Shalom Aleichem, we shake hands, men shake hands, because the hand has five fingers, and that's a hey, and the other hand is a hey. When they shake each other, that makes a Yud. And together, when they're together, the arms are connected together, is the Vav. And it's brought down from the great Tzaddik. And then when someone shakes someone else's hand, he writes Yudke Vavke. And that's why Kol Yisrael, Arevim Zeh LaZeh, all the Jewish people are connected. And if we're connected, we always spell Yudke Vavke. When a chassan marries a kala, why is it so holy? He takes the ring. He's got a hand, and the ring is in the hand, and the hand is a Vav. The hand is the hay. There's five fingers in his hand. He holds the ring. Is the hay. The girl puts out her finger. That's the yud. That's half of Hashem's name. Then he gives her the ksuva. Ksuva stands for kosav vav hay. So between the yud and the hay, that he puts the ring on the finger and the ksuva, that makes the marriage. In everything in this world, between two Jews, whether it's a husband and a wife or a friend and another friend, all Hashem wants us to do is to spell his name. Is to spell yudke vavke. Tisha B'Av is a tough time. It's a time of a Chorban, but it's a time to build the Beis HaMikdash. We have failed the past year to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Go home. Cry to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a night that Hashem is crying tonight. The gates of tears are wide open. Tonight is a night to cry. Tomorrow is a day to cry to Hashem. Cry for your Chorban. Cry for what's going on inside your soul. Cry for the Chorban of Klal Yisrael, and Bezrat Hashem, next year, maybe even tomorrow. It'll be a Moyed, it'll be a Yantiv. And I give the bracha to the girls I spoke to. This year, you're allowed to get engaged tomorrow. The Mishnah Berurah passes la'alacha that you're allowed to get engaged on Tisha B'Av. That's how important it is for Hashem to make zivugim, that you're allowed to get engaged if that person's going to leave and whatever it is, you're allowed to get engaged tomorrow. Let's do one better. Let's bring Mashiach so you're allowed to get married tomorrow. Hatzlach, everybody.